thousand miles with you. I dried your tears of pain a million times to you. I'd sell my soul for money to burn.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Robert Kennedy Jr., President-elect Trump's pick for health secretary, is set to meet with more than two dozen senators. And ABC's Mary Bruce says Kennedy's views about vaccines will be a key focus.
Some Democrats highlighting Kennedy's other positions that fall outside the medical mainstream, including his opposition to fluoride in public drinking water. But Kennedy could win over some support on the left, especially for his fight against processed foods. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders suggesting he's open to supporting him.
A former FBI informant set to plead guilty today to lying about a phony bribery scheme involving President Biden and his son Hunter. That formed a key pillar of the Republican impeachment inquiry in Congress. Local lawmakers in the Northeast continue to call for more federal support to deal with drone sightings. And Syria's ousted leader Bashar Assad speaking for the first time since he fled for Russia, saying he never planned to flee and calling the rebels terrorists. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Aylin. A legislative study committee on Sandhill Cranes has made its recommendation. Following a fifth and final meeting last week, the panel of lawmakers, ag, and conservation groups last week advanced a draft bill that would authorize the Sandhill Crane Hunt and fund compensation for farmers for crop losses. Enbridge Energy is cleaning up after an extended oil leak in Jefferson County. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports 70,000 gallons of oil leaked from a pipeline connection between Superior, Wisconsin, and a refinery in Indiana. A federal report states the leak was likely happening for an extended period. And record holiday travel numbers are projected for Wisconsin. According to AAA, nearly 2.4 million Wisconsinites will travel 50 miles or more from home between this coming Sunday and New Year's Day. That'll break the previous all-time high set last year by over 76,000. Ted Aylin, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Foggy and drizzly this morning. It is going to stay mostly cloudy all day and become a little breezy by late this afternoon. High today, 38. Tonight, down to 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. 36 with some light snow tomorrow night. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 36.
99.7.
Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:04 on Monday morning. It is a little cool and damp out there. Fog advisory till 9 o'clock this morning. Here are the Black Eyed Peas. I Got a Feeling on Max FM.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Tonight's the night, let's live it up. I got my money, let's spin it up. Go out and smash it, like oh my God. Jump out that sofa, let's kick it off. Fill up my cup, Mazel Tov. Look at her dancing, just take it off. Let's paint the town, we'll shut it down. Let's burn the roof,
and then we'll do it again.
Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. Tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. Tonight's the night. Let's live it up.
Let's live it up.
I got my money.
Hey.
Let's spin it up.
Let's spin it up.
Go out and smash it.
Smash it.
Like oh my God.
Like oh my God.
Jump out that sofa.
Come on.
Let's kick it off. Fill up my cup.
Drink.
Mazel Tov.
L'chaim.
Look at her dancing.
Move it, move it.
Just take it off. Let's paint the town.
Paint the town.
We'll shut it down.
Shut it down.
Let's burn the roof.
And then we'll do it again.
Let's do it. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, and do it, and do it, let's live it up, and do it, and do it, and do it, and do it, do it, do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, do it, do it, do it. Here we come, here we go, we gotta rock. Easy come, easy go, now we on top. Feel the shot, body rock, rock it, don't stop.
And more.
Love Jack.
You say. All tainted love.
99.7 FM.
Like I didn't care. So I took a big chance at the high school dance with
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave and Emily with you. It is 8:12 on Monday morning. Emily, we are going to talk about our pets of the week from the Saucony Humane Society.
Yes, we are. I look forward to this bit every week because I am such an animal crazy lover and I can't wait to share this with you all. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about Misty. Misty is a one-year-old dark tabby domestic short hair cat. While toys can be okay, Misty is a wonderful lap cat. She totally enjoys spending time while in the cat socialization room, in the cat socializer's lap, soaking in as much attention as she can. She has beautiful, big, striking green eyes that will catch your eye immediately. Misty would be the perfect movie date for the long, cold days ahead, or as you curl up with a good book. Misty is spayed, will be microchipped, and up to date on vaccines before going home. She's gorgeous. I mean, she's just like the description. I mean, just that kind of quintessential tabby cat with the gray and black stripes and big green eyes. And I love how rather than playing with the other cats, she's like, yeah, I'm going to just be comfortable because that's where it's at. So good for you, Misty. Anyone interested in adopting a pet out there? Misty looks like a really great choice. So get in touch with those folks over at Saucony Humane Society to learn more.
You can go to sockhumane.org to learn more about the pets we talk about and the needs that they currently have at the Humane Society. I'm going to talk about Torque. He is a one-year-old Black Lab Terrier mix. He's a handsome dude. Torque enjoys toys and playing with balls. Friendly and well-behaved, he already knows several commands, sit, stay, come, and lie down, and is improving on his leash walking. Torque would prefer to be the only pet in the home. He's a bigger guy with lots of energy. He could share his home with older children. Torque will be neutered, microchipped, and up to date on vaccines before going home. You can go look at his picture on sockhumane.org, along with Misty's picture today. Tomorrow, the Saucony Humane Society will be featured at the Baraboo Pizza Ranch for their community share night. All tips and 10% profits will be donated to the shelter. Stop in from 4 to 8 p.m. and support the homeless shelter for animals. Bring your family and friends and come hungry. And, you know, they're going to have some pretty good jokes as well, Emily.
Absolutely. Actually, that's not the word they use. That's okay. I love this. This is great. I really love when businesses, you know, kind of coincide with nonprofits like this to be able to raise funds. So it's so cool. You go out to eat, get some good Pizza Ranch food. Pizza Ranch gets a little extra business. 10% of the profits go to Sauk County Humane Society. Everybody wins. So definitely check that out. That is tomorrow, the 17th, Baraboo Pizza Ranch for a giving opportunity. Also, their Christmas giving tree is up in their lobby there at Sauk County Humane Society. So you go in, you pick a tag. Each tag has a shelter pet's name on it and a list of items on the back to purchase. The tree will remain up through the end of the year, so all the way through December 31st. Stop in and grab a tag or two. All items either help the staff care for our shelter animals or are special requests from the adopted animals over there at the shelter. So What they suggest, which I really appreciate, is if you got little kids, that's a fun way. You go in, you see a cool Christmas tree, you can, you know, visit with some of the pets, say hello to the staff there, and then the kids can go ahead and walk up to the little tree, grab a tag, and then turn it over, and you can help them figure out, you know, how to figure out what they want to buy from the tag. So it has a suggestion, and then you take a little trip to the store and come on back and drop it off, and it just feels good all the way through. So nice, fun idea. Go ahead and stop to SauktCountyHumane.org or go on their website to find out more.
And as the holiday season continues, it is important to keep our pets safe. Besides foods that can make them ill, many ornaments and decorations can be an issue. Small ornaments and decorations and batteries can be swallowed. Yes, animals do this. It can cause injuries and blockages, and possibly surgeries needed. Glass items can break and cause injury. This is the time of year to find plants such as poinsettias, mistletoe, holly, and other things decorating our homes. These plants have toxic effects on our pets. If your pets have eaten any of these plants, do not waste time. Call your vet or emergency vet immediately, or just keep them away from where your pets are at, because if you have a curious pet, they will find those. And as a reminder, the Sauk County Humane Society is in desperate need of peanut butter and bleach. For a full list of their needs, go to SaukHumane.org or to look at the pets that Emily and I just talked about.
Yes, that's a really good reminder. Just like kind of back in the moments of Thanksgiving, you know, as much as the holidays are wonderful and fun for us humans, they come with some treacherous things for pets. So like, just keep that in mind and make sure you're keeping your pets safe, because they are family and they are curious. Cats are curious. Dogs like to eat anything they can get their hands on, paws on. So just keep that stuff in mind. You know, poinsettia is a famous one. Everybody likes to have that over the holidays, and it really does not treat the pets nicely. So more information always about all these things. You can always call your vet or visit SaukCountyHumane.org, and they have all the information you may need about all the things we just went over. So happy holidays, but keep your pets safe out there, guys.
That's exactly it. Emily, you'll be back with me shortly, and we'll talk about calendar days.
Sounds like a plan.
It is More Music Mornings with Dave and Emily on Max FM.
Did you know cases of preventable diseases, including measles and whooping cough, are spreading in Wisconsin? Cases of whooping cough are 5 times higher than last year. Get vaccinated to protect yourself, your family, and your community. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are effective. And vaccines are essential. Talk to an SSM health provider or pharmacist today and make sure your family is up to date. Visit SSMHealth.com to learn more.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
How about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want 4 free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
4 free phones.
4 free phones.
Get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us.
Terms apply. Visit CellPlus.com for details. Here's another hint. Get $100 towards accessories with each smartphone purchase. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Baraboo, The Dells, and Reedsburg.
Looking for a great time with your pals? Head over to Pals Brewing Company, now open in Wisconsin Dells. Sip on their unique, exclusive beer flavors you won't find anywhere else, like their award-winning Honey Wheat. Try their mouth-watering pizzas with the most creative toppings around. Ever try a cheeseburger pizza with pickles or a twisted buffalo pizza loaded with sriracha ranch and blue cheese? Don't forget Wing Wednesdays for their unbeatable flight and wing specials. Enjoy it all in their pet-friendly patio. For an unforgettable time, visit Pals Brewing Company, open daily at 11 a.m. Get more details at palsdells.com.
Welcome to the 10th day of the Max FM 12 Deals of Christmas. Disorderly Conduct Rage Room in Sauk City offers you a chance to let out your stress and frustrations by taking a sledgehammer to a computer, destroying a TV, or smashing a bunch of dishes with a baseball bat. Or if smashing is not your thing, grab some paint and splash it all over a friend or coworker in the safe space. Go to MaxFMBigDeals.com and purchase $50 gift certificates for just $25 today only with the Max FM 12 Deals of Christmas.
Sports is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts of Baraboo.
The Packers jumped out to a 14-0 lead and went on to a 30-13 win over the Seahawks on Sunday night in Seattle. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Josh Jacobs rushing for 94 yards and a touchdown. Romeo Doubs returned from a concussion and caught 2 touchdown passes as the Packers won for the 10th time this season. Bucks are headed for the NBA Cup Championship against Oklahoma City on Tuesday night. Milwaukee beat Atlanta 110-102 in Saturday's semifinals to advance to the title game. Men's college basketball yesterday, UW
KCRW. Milwaukee beat Akron 100-81 in the Milwaukee Basketball Classic. Badger women's volleyball team fell one victory short of a trip to the Final Four. They were swept by Nebraska for the third time this season as six seniors play their final match for the Badgers in their careers. The Hockey Badgers earned a win and an overtime loss at Michigan, taking four out of a possible 6 points on the weekend. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
'90s and more, 99.7 Max FM. Pat Benatar, hit me with your best shot. Emily, we're going to take a look at calendar days.
We are. What do you see, Dave? It's such a great day today, December 16th. Such a nice round number. I really like it.
It is 9 days away from Christmas, and I do want to remind everyone, also it is our 10th big deal of Christmas at MaxFMBigDeals.com. Half off a $50 certificate to the Rage Rooms at $25 only. You can go break stuff, splatter paint. I'm excited about that one, so go check it out.
Awesome.
Yes. I almost forgot to talk about that, so I had to talk about that one. Now, the calendar days, I see a couple. Today is Day of Reconciliation. The Day of Reconciliation has helped bring harmony to a region after lots of injustice, so think about that today. Another one of my favorite is National Underdog Day. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the way we celebrate these unrecognized heroes. What do you see on the list, Emily?
I like National Wreaths Across America today. Remember fallen U.S. veterans, honor those who serve, and teach your children the value of freedom. So I really like that. Again, there's another Underdog Day. This one I think is specific a little bit more to sports, but it's just some of the imagery that comes along with it is just lovely. So anytime you felt like you were competing or you against the world and you were kind of like, this is a day to celebrate yourself, because that's everybody has been in that moment in their life. So you are also a hero. Today is also Bangladesh Victory Day. Want to learn my Victory Day of Bangladesh is one of the most victorious days in history. I'm sure you can find out more if you have an extra moment of time today. And then we'll flip the script real quick because there's one that has to do with toys, which is so funny. Did you spend 8 hours a day sustaining lives with Tamagotchis? Happy stupid toy day. Boom. Yes, we did during COVID. Spent a lot of time dealing with the Tamagotchi of one of our small children. So good Lord, yes. Stupid toy day. They got Mr. Potato Head's up there, which I got to say, I don't think those are that stupid. I love Mr. Potato Head. And my kids loved those too. They had lasting power. So I really like them.
Well,
I really like stupid toy day.
And here's one of my favorite National Chocolate Covered Anything Day.
Yeah, chocolate covered anything. The picture they've got like fruit covered, like a piece of orange with covered chocolate. I love that. Orange and chocolate go really well together. So pretty much, I mean, don't cover your stupid toys in chocolate because that's going to be nasty. Food.
Food. Anything, pretzels. I mean, okay, I'm gonna stop here because I know right where this will head. So National Cover Anything in Chocolate Day today, so celebrate that, Emily. You know, it's a great day to be out and about today.
It is. There's a lot going on in all the communities out there leading up to Christmas, leading up to holiday celebration. The New Year's right around the corner, so get out, do something nice for yourself. If you got shopping to do, we've got a market coming up indoor, the Great Day Building, 502 Oak Street, this Saturday, 9 to 2. There are 35 vendors making all the different things. They've got some farmers out there that sell some root veggies. There are craftspeople like you wouldn't believe. So 9 to 2, 502 Oak Street, right inside the old Wells Fargo Bank. All you have to do is walk in the front door, and it is like a transformed, beautiful indoor market. So go check that out.
That'll be this Saturday. And we'll remind you as we get closer to the weekend as well. Emily, thank you so much for being here this morning. You'll be back with me tomorrow morning, 7:10, with our next keyword.
Whoop, whoop. Everybody have a great Monday.
Have a great morning, Emily. And we're looking forward to be back together on tomorrow. Coming up, we are going to take a look at weather and we'll have Hanging with Havel on Max FM.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Foggy and drizzly this morning, and it's going to stay mostly cloudy all day and become a little breezy by late this afternoon. High today, 38. Tonight, down to 27. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. 36 with some light snow tomorrow night. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 36.
99.7.
For Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones, and Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join us in just moments as we talk about the Green Bay Packers' big win against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle last night. Sunday Night Football, it was quite the game. Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
Oakwood Fruit Farm wants to thank everyone for another incredible season. As the farm closes its doors for the year, they'd like to express their gratitude for your support and remind you how much they value being a part of your traditions. From everyone at Oakwood Fruit Farm, happy holidays. They look forward to welcoming you back next fall for more fresh fruit, family fun, and wonderful memories. Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every season brings something special. See you next year.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. Chris is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance. Well, Chris, good morning. We are celebrating a Packers victory, maybe exercise. A few demons in Seattle last night as well.
Oh, for sure, Maddie. Good morning to you, too. And I have to say, last night's game played out like, if you're a Packer fan, now that's a little more like what we need to see. Mm-hmm. And if that's the first step towards continuing to ascend and continuing to get better into the playoffs, yeah, then I think that was a great first step for them. I mean, 5-2 on the road now.
Yeah,
the only
absolutely.
Road losses they've had are at Sao Paulo, Brazil. Yep. And what was the other? That was the Philadelphia game. And then mm-hmm. the other one was at Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The top two teams in the conference are the only two road losses you have, and you're going to have to play on the road in the playoffs. And by the way, I think the biggest takeaway from last night, the lessons that they learned in Detroit were mm-hmm. transferred over to Seattle.
And that was absolutely good. Yeah, absolutely. I would totally agree with that. Now, they have had statistically the hardest schedule when it comes to the defenses they've been playing. And I felt like last night that made a difference because the Seahawks came in playing really, really well the last month. The Packers, though, facing that really tough defensive schedule, moved the ball basically on everybody and stayed within just a few points of all of the teams that they've lost to. When I say all of them, I mean, there's been four of them at this point, two of them being the same team, which really means at this point, to what you're saying, they could go on the road if they continue to progress offensively and face down any defense in the NFL because they've had to do it several times already this season.
For sure. And I think that's the last kind of cleat to fall, I would suppose, is that offense getting it really, really humming. And they know they need to be better and they're working on it, but you can see the improvement. It's evident mm-hmm. up and down. And it was interesting in the pregame show last night, no matter how much they want to try to get Jaden Reed involved, and it was a concerted effort last night to be sure,
yes,
to some good effect, it's clear that Romeo Dobbs is the lead dog in the receiving corps. Christian,
yep,
Watson, when Dobbs isn't available, but even when he is, to stretch the field and mm-hmm. to use his skills, and they go to him a lot. And, you know, I can't come away with saying I need more Reed when you'd like to have more Tucker Kraft, too. You'd like to have,
yeah,
more of all of them. So, but when you putting up over 400 yards and you have the balance in the run and the pass, I think that's just critical. And the one difference of in the game, they were firing off the ball on the offensive side much better than they,
yeah,
did at Detroit, the silent count and all of that. And the other thing, they blocked it up. Mm-hmm. When they pass protected, I mean, that offensive line, I suspected, Maddie, that they would take it to heart, the bad game that they had against the Lions.
Sure.
And zero sacks allowed, I don't know how many pressures, but when Jordan Love has time, he's lethal. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely. He ended last night with a passer rating of 123.8, which is just another 100-plus passer rating for him during this season. He's actually been really, really good. And I know a lot of fans had some discontent at one point just because of the interceptions, which were becoming a bit of a problem. It feels like they've cleaned those up a little bit, though. And Jordan Love, along with probably Tom Clements, have really probably taken a look at the mechanics. I think the fact that he is feeling better. He obviously, that injury from the first game of the season doesn't seem to be any sort of issue for him anymore. And I think all of that kind of plays into how well Jordan Love has been playing. Now, I was surprised. There were a couple of, long balls last night to Christian Watson that didn't look maybe Jordan Love-esque. And there are a couple of the short yardage situations, which have been really just butter for him all season. He struggled with those a little bit last night, but that is also credit to the Seattle Seahawks defense, who, again, has been playing really, really well as of late.
Oh, and you think about it, what we were just talking about there, he did miss some throws, 12 out of 13 in the first half, though.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the quarterback's accuracy a little bit.
Right.
For all the right reasons. I mean, he was just, it was one of those games where he looked like Jared Goff at his best.
Mm-hmm.
Early on,
yeah.
In the first half. I mean, you compare that with three completions at Detroit. 12 out of 13 at Seattle. And I don't understand. Maybe you got any ideas why Josh Jacobs, it's like he's a great one half, not so much the next, but still effective. But I mean, he in the first half, he just was balling. And 14 for 73 in the first half, Maddie. And he ended up with, I think, 96 yards and maybe a combined 140. So again, a big night for Jacobs. But it's kind of crazy. It seems like, though, when teams try to have to shut Jacobs down, boy, they can do it, but at what cost?
Well, and that's I think that's part of this two-pronged system that LaFleur is trying to build, right? Because once the defenses figure out that they have to stop Jacobs, which obviously the Seahawks did, so kudos to them being a well-coached team, right? Once you do that, then you kind of open up everything else. And then you see those long throws to Christian Watson. The one thing I do want to give some credit where credit is due is the hard-fought catches by the Packers wide receivers last night. I mean, we saw Christian Watson kind of lay himself out a couple of times. Romeo Doubs, obviously, for that last touchdown in the end zone. I don't know if that was a scripted play or not. I don't know if that was in the playbook, but they made it work. And kudos to Romeo Doubs for really going out and catching that ball and being able to get that touchdown. These Packers wide receivers, we've talked about it. They don't always fight for the ball. They don't always lay themselves out in those positions. So whatever, you know, coaching is being done during the week, it's obviously paying off when we watched last night on the field.
Well, you know, you talk about getting better as the season goes, and a key element of that is your staff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you better have the head coach, but you better have the staff working with them. And Matt LaFleur last night in his post game, I mean, Campanelli, the defensive linebackers coach, Halfley on defense, talked about on offense the consistency of guys working, the fundamentals of Tom Clemens with Jordan Love and all of that stuff. I mean, they're getting better.
Yeah.
They're working hard. They're young players. And again, I think this is another bonus of being a really young team. These guys, professionally speaking, don't act like or think that they've got it all figured out. They're looking for help. I think Edgerrin Cooper is a great example of a guy who clearly is getting some excellent, excellent coaching. But to your point about the receivers laying out, I mean, Christian Watson on just a ball that Jordan Love threw that was maybe never more than a yard off the turf.
Yeah.
And he dove for it. DB draped on his back, made the catch. That was a nice grab.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they really understand the tuck and turn.
Mm-hmm.
And to get on your back as soon as you can to get control.
Yep.
And it's all very, very conscious and, as LaFleur would say, intentional, like the Doubs touchdown at the end. And it was a pick play, probably supposed to go to Watson, but Doubs broke free, got just a step behind the DB. And when you watch it from the quarterback's angle, yeah, you know, that wasn't as big of a dangerous throw as you might think. It was just fairly amazing, though, that he laid it exactly where only Doubs could catch it. And he had a couple of those last night where only his guy could get it. And the risk factor, I think, as he's getting healthier, to your point, and his base and the legs and the fundamentals, along with the throwing, regardless of what anyone said early on, it was all about the injuries. And we're seeing
that.
So that should be some great comfort to our listeners, to Packer fans, because Love is just fine.
Yeah. And no, I agree.
Margin of errors. I mean, he did. He really looked like Jared Goff on his finest day.
Yeah, he really did. He was absolutely, I mean, you can't say flawless, but as far as a quarterback goes in the modern day NFL, he was pretty flawless last night. I mean, right? You can't play a perfect game in the NFL, not the way things are called by the referees at this point in time. And when you have a good defense, because let's give credit to that defensive front, especially of the Seahawks. I mean, they are a good unit. And Josh Jacobs, especially in that first half, they looked tired and winded before they even got off the field. I mean, it was actually kind of crazy. After that first touchdown drive, you were kind of like, whoa, this could be interesting. In fact, I texted you at one point and I was like, hey, this is what an O-line looks like. Look at Josh Myers. He's already got already above and beyond his zero rating from PFF last week.
I mean, the first two drives, 10 plays, 63 yards for 5.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Backed up by the 8-play, 80-yard drive and the touchdown pass to Dobbs. And he's dragging guys to the goal line.
Yeah.
This was just, I mean, those, the 1-2 punch there. And then they get a field goal and you back it up with a field goal yourself. So you neutralize that right away. It just seemed like now it can be a lot better. They were 2-for-5 in the red zone or 2-for-4, I guess, but it could be better there. And some other things, and you know, nickel and dime and whatnot. But another game, Maddie, where they had more points than pass attempts. And I don't know how I just kind of stumbled on that as an oddity, but you look this season, I mean, you talk about getting the maximum points out of the minimum passing attempts. And if you don't have to throw that much, a lot of good things happen, because when they do, a lot of good things happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And we said this was going to be a big week for the play action. The Seahawks had struggled against it with other teams, and you saw them kind of come right out of the gate with a whole lot of play action. The one criticism I'm going to make of Matt LaFleur this week, and I thought this was a much better coached game than anything that we saw in Detroit on Thanksgiving. The play calling when the Packers have gone on fourth down this year stands in really stark contrast, though, to the overall play calling the rest of the year, usually for the rest of the game. It's just really nothing interesting for a team that has actually one of the most interesting offenses in the entire NFL. He goes very bland on those fourth downs, and then you see Josh Jacobs just kind of run into the back of Elgton Jenkins a whole lot. And I don't know what the difference is there for him. I don't know if he's just not comfortable with the fourth down situation, if he's not just trusting his own instincts. I'm not sure what it is, but the fourth down calls this year have been a little disappointing, to say the least, at least to me.
Well, and you know, it's kind of like when they get in the 2-point conversion try, and you got to make that work, or a goal line. And Josh Jacobs certainly covers up any kind of sins in the play caller. And Matt LaFleur admitted last night that he could have done a better job by his team, especially he said he screwed up the end of the first half where they got the pass interference penalty, but he let way, way, way too much time.
Yeah, that was a mess. That was a little bit Caleb Williams-esque from a few weeks ago, quite honestly.
Well, it was actually a little Shane Waldron-esque, because LaFleur said he got the play in late, and then they tried to change it with the latitude that he gives Love. Should have just jumped in and called a timeout, which I was shouting for at the TV, but you are that coach. Take charge of that thing. But, you know, LaFleur owns up to his mistakes. And, I mean, he talked about how come you stalled out in the second half offensively. He said, well, you know, two reasons. The execution wasn't as good all the time and the play calling.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
When I heard it, but I mean, he said poor execution at times, poor play calling. I thought, good for you, you know?
Yeah, you know, at least, you know, he always gives the cliche, we've got to look in the mirror. So sometimes when he gives those honest answers, you're like, oh, look at you. It's not just coach speak there at the podium. You are actually looking in the mirror to see what's going on. I mean, all around, I thought it was a really great night for the Packers offense. I mean, and this is a team, you know, that's going to probably just get better. They're going to be working Luke Musgrave in eventually here to the rotation. I mean, and, you know, they pointed it out on the broadcast last night. What a great great problem to have, to not really know who you're going to be starting and to have too many good players to the point where at some point somebody's not going to be on the roster. And there's a lot of teams that would just love that kind of problem, wouldn't they? I mean, and the Green Bay Packers have a plethora of those problems sitting on their roster right now.
I mean, you look at, I'll just go down the list here. Josh Jacobs, 4 targets, 4 catches for 42.
Yeah.
Okay, Tucker Kraft, 2 catches, 2 targets. One was phenomenal from Jordan Love on the replay for 34. Jaden Reed, 5 catches on 6 targets. Dontavian Wicks, 2 on 2. So you're getting the return on your investment on all these throws. Dobbs, 3 catches, but 2 of them were for touchdowns. Huge plays. And Christian Watson, okay, 3 for 6, but he is the field stretcher, and he's still 56 yards on the 3 catches. So offensively, they're getting close. The Josh Jacobs fumble, it's another good reminder. Really, no matter who you are, you got to get 2 hands on that football when you feel yourself going down. But overall, I cannot imagine a much better performance. Now, you'd like to have had it both halves, and we're talking about 45-13, but I mean, I don't have to be greedy that way. And in fact, I hope Christian Watson, we haven't heard anything yet morning about him, but I hope he's okay, because you start to think with 2 minutes to go, what are you doing going deep? But I loved it when the ball was up in the air. And then when Watson was on the ground, I didn't love it so much, so I can't have it both ways.
I loved the aggressiveness that Matt LaFleur kept, even in that scenario. We've seen him go kind of bland. Even with the score that was pretty lopsided, a lot of times in those scenarios, you see him go a little bland. I was glad to see him have the aggressiveness. I like that side of LaFleur a little bit more, but you're right. Anytime any player gets injured in those scenarios, you think, well, maybe it wasn't worth it, you know? So hopefully Christian Watson is okay. I mean, he's a guy that you're going to need going forward, not just for the next 3 games. He's going to be crucially important. But at the same time, you want him healthy going into the playoffs too, because I'm manifesting it. I'm going to keep saying it. They're making it to the playoffs. I know a lot of people are like, oh, they need to win next week to clinch. They're almost there. Come on, people. Have you seen the NFC race? They're almost there.
And they can still get some help in the playoffs. We've talked about with Minnesota, and that's still for us to talk about at a later date, but they're, double-digit wins, when you get to 10, and that was what good old Mike McCarthy used to always say, I don't want to hear about any postseason or playoffs. And that was a 16-game season, though, but until we get to double figures. And 10-4 just looks nice, because Minnesota and Green Bay, one is going to help the other, I think, knock out either the Eagles or the Lions. I just don't think the Lions are as invincible as a lot of people think.
Not with the injuries they have right now. They are banged up.
Attrition. You know, and the Bills attritioned them all over the joint, much like the Packers had an opportunity to had they been playing sharper. But again, you know, it's looking ahead now and learning. Yeah. But again, the big takeaway on both sides of the ball, but they really learned their lessons from last Thursday. And Maddie, that's the whole point, right? I mean, you say get better. What was everybody, the coach from the opening coin toss to deciding, you know, if we are going to come out and throw, that's fine, but let's get it blocked up. Let's make sure we're not, you know, getting too exotic, too cute, too early. And so, I mean, I thought that was LaFleur and the offense at their best those first 3 drives.
Ooh. Yeah, absolutely. And we said they were going to, the offensive line especially, you don't see an offensive line come out and lay eggs twice in a row like that when they're a good offensive line. I mean, you just don't. They get a little salty over their performance. And I just kind of knew the offensive line was going to pull it together, because especially in Green Bay, they take pride in their offensive line, being able to block up the pass and the run and being the strength of that team. They pride themselves on that. And you just knew that they weren't going to come in there and lay a big goose egg the second week in a row. It just probably wasn't going to happen. Now let's turn to the defensive side of the ball, because here's what I learned last night. Edgerrin Cooper needs to be playing all the time. He plays the game at another speed. He truly does. And when you look at what's happening on the field, I mean, we've talked about it, right? There might be something going on the mental side of it, rookie, time missed, all of that. And I get that. I totally get that. But at the same time, his speed makes up for it. Last night, not only did he have the interception, he had a couple of tackles for loss. He had a pass breakup. I mean, the dude was really out there doing everything. And you know what? You kind of needed it, because Quay Walker Walker got injured, and whoever thought we'd be saying, oh God, no Quay Walker on the field. But McDuffie and Wilson, they're great. They're great backups. They really, truly are. Probably wonderful human beings even, but they just don't have the speed to match up with what's happening on the field like an Edgerrin Cooper does. And I texted you last night during the game, and I got to say, you know, Tyron Hopper, I know he's been very limited even compared to Cooper in play time, but I think the future's bright at that linebacker position with those two going forward and in years to come. I'm very excited about it. And I was so glad to see Edgerrin Cooper on the field last night. You know, I've been a fan, though, for a while, mm-hmm. so I'm always going to toot his horn.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. And Matt LaFleur is right there with you last night. Here's his quote on Edgerrin Cooper. He's a hell of a player. Man, I think Haft does a great job of putting him in position to have success. It's been fun to watch and witness his growth. And then he was talking about Campanile does a great job with those mm-hmm. guys too. Quay, Cooper, Hopper. He mentioned the three young guys. He didn't mention Wilson and McDuffie because he doesn't need to. They know their stuff. Yeah. But I thought that was interesting that he included Hopper, to your point. And then he concluded it with, Coop's a hell of an athlete. He's a really, really good football player. And
he really
when
is.
You think about the Packers and Goody aren't stupid. They knew that they were painfully thin at corner.
Yep.
They went ahead and drafted Edgerrin Cooper, who many said was the best linebacker in the draft.
Yep.
And it turns out that that could be true, that he is the best linebacker in the draft. And he can't fix all the positions, but I got to believe they felt like Edgerrin Cooper was a steal where he was still available in the draft. And they had to, obligated to,
right?
to draft him. And it looks like it's a wonderful thing because I know people still are mentioning, you know, Cooper DeJean and whatever.
Yeah.
But I'll take Edgerrin Cooper.
Love him.
Over any of those corners. And the other guy, Carrington Valentine.
Oh, man.
Beautiful play, tracking the football, coming off his guy, understanding the situation, the red zone, where they're at. And he's a guy who can really, really, if he elevates, and I hope this continues for him, I mean, not just
yes.
so I can always get interceptions, because then you don't have to play Eric Stokes as much. And I know,
well,
you know.
I was just going to say, so in last night's game, Carrington Valentine had two pass breakups and one interception in a half. That's two more pass breakups and one more interception than Eric Stokes has had in the last 3 years. And that's an actual statistic for anybody who's keeping score this morning.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think that Eric Stokes is a bad player. I think I really, truly think that the injuries that he sustained took a toll on his athleticism, his speed, his ability to cut and stay with receivers. I don't think any of it's his fault or anything he's done wrong. Sometimes injuries are brutal. And he had two of the worst as far as what we know and have been told, because there wasn't a lot of information about what happened to him. All we know is that he was even in a wheelchair for a very long time because of the injuries. And I don't think it's anything he's done. I don't think it's anything that he's done to not prepare, to take coaching. I just think those injuries were brutal because he is not the same player that he was his rookie season. He's just not. And that's unfortunate because I think he had a really bright future as a Green Bay Packer. And the injuries, unfortunately, just took their toll on what he's capable of doing now. And play Carrington Valentine. I don't care what the stupid rotation is. They keep telling me about rotation and they keep doing it with Carrington Valentine and Stokes, and we've seen them doing it with the linebacker position. Screw your rotation. Put the guys in who can make the plays. That's what I say, at least as
you know,
a fan
I'm
watching
not so
the
sure.
team.
They're trying to hedge their bet a little bit because of Jair Alexander's
sure,
unavailability
maybe.
And that, you know what, we're still fingers crossed hoping that Stokes looks more like the guy we hoped he would look like this season. And I think at some point, though, too, it's a neck up with Stokes. Because
yes,
his
maybe.
Growth as a corner has been so choppy
sure.
and retarded because of an injury and this. And then you're right, it was a massive injury. A couple of parts of the body, I think the knee and the ankle. The ankle
mm-hmm.
ended up probably being even worse for Stokes. So you hope you can, whatever you can milk out of him while Corey Valentine came back last night, and that's good news.
Yep.
Whatever you can do to get Keyshawn Nixon to keep him in the slot, though, I think on the perimeter.
You got
to
have him on the perimeter. You can't play him on the slot. That's just, it's brutal. And you could tell instantaneously when Halfley had seen enough and made that change, because the whole defense looked better I mean, it just looked better. And you could tell from one series to another when Halfley made the change from the booth that it was time to not try that again.
And Nixon's, he's a hard hitter. He's aggressive.
Yeah, he's willing.
Fumbles. And on the perimeter, he's fine.
Yeah.
When he has the boundary to help him on the one side, he's a pretty darn good corner. But in the middle of the field, he gets lost in space. And that's just, again, experience. And that's why Javon Bullard, people wonder, well, how come the interceptions or passes defended? That's one of the toughest positions to play in all the NFL. And defensive coordinators, as you know, have said for a long time, that star or nickel DB position might be the most important on defense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you got a guy in Nixon who's ill-equipped and actually for his being a veteran, inexperienced playing slot corner, and it looks like it.
Yeah, and let's talk about a little bit more about this defense. The six players had a sack last night. Welcome back pass rush. Now, I don't know if it was just this O-line that they felt comfortable with or what happened, but this looked like a pass rush that you can take into the playoffs. Rashawn Gary, bull rushing guys right back into the knees of the quarterback. I mean, that's the Rashawn Gary that we know, right? And we've been hoping we were going to see all season, but it's been a long time coming. They had seven players with a tackle for a loss. Nine players also had a QB hit. They finished with seven total sacks, 10 tackles for a loss, 12 QB hits, and they also had two takeaways last night. So that is, I think that's a defense that is starting to maybe figure out the Halfley system.
I thought Chris Collinsworth made a really good point last night. And they had five sacks, finished with seven, and I'm not quite sure how the other two were drawn up, but at least five of the seven came bringing four.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, when you can get home five times, I don't care who you're playing, but Seattle had been buttoning it up pretty tight up until then. Your first five sacks are all when you're bringing four. That tells you you're getting decent coverage on the back end to give them a little bit of time. So the extra bodies on the back end aren't just standing around loitering. They're actually covering people. And then you look at being able to get home. But I thought Rashawn Gary looked better. Cooper, right out of the gate. Perfectly played stunt. And, he looked like a veteran. And the thing about Cooper and Bullard, when they do blitz, they don't horse around. I mean, it's a direct line to the quarterback. It's a beeline, and that's fun, too. But watching them, whether it was Geno Smith or Sam Howell, boy, oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw some consternation of fans that, they probably wouldn't have won if Geno would have stayed in. No, I think they would have won that game. Maybe the score wouldn't have been quite as lopsided, but I still think the Packers won that game, even if Geno Smith had stayed in, because they were dominating that offense defensively, even with Geno Smith at the behind the line. And maybe, again, it might not have been so lopsided. I think you would have had some bigger chunk yardage to, DK Metcalf. And probably, I can never pronounce his last name. Thank you. And also Tyler Lockett. But and Fant would have probably been involved a little bit more as well. But I totally believe that the way the Packers were dominating that game, they still would have won. Whatever. If you need to be upset about something, I guess, even after a big win like that, I go for it. I don't know. But even Aaron Mosby last night, I thought he played a really good game too.
Active. Brenton Cox Jr. got a sack. He got in on the action late. Van Ness was somewhat himself, but noticed at times. And again, I go back to Cooper though. I mean, he has a sack right away. He has an interception. He took out Geno Smith on what was a clean play. Well, I don't know what more a guy can do.
Right.
Now, I don't know the total number of snaps he ended up with. I'll have to look that up a little later, but he was on the field a lot. And I think from what LaFleur said, in the Halfley, the plan is he's going to be on the field a lot going ahead.
Well, that should make every Packers fan heart skip a beat.
It'll make Maddie happy. I know that.
He needs to be out there. He's a difference maker, And I'm sorry. I love to watch the Green Bay Packers play. I like to see him play good football, and I like to see him win, I mean, I kind of want the trifecta every week. But at the same time, he's just a guy who speeds things up a little bit as well. And this is a really fast league at this point in time. And I just said it a few minutes ago. When you watch him, he is operating at a different speed than almost everybody else on that field. And because he could be across the field, and he can keep up step for step with guys like your fastest receivers and even your running backs. And he can
feel his presence.
I know. I mean, and you can see him actually cross the field and still keep up with them stride for stride. And